You're listening to Rise Up Radio on WBAI 99.5 FM. That was the
Mind Cool.
Yep. To be continued. Brass band playing.
Keish, I think you are blaming on Boogie.
Yes.
She just gave me a present. Thank you very
You're
much.
You're welcome.
She didn't even tell the name of the song, but that was hot. That's
Blame It on
for
the
you.
Boogie. That was them Blame. Playing it. I had a great time out there, and now we're gonna go into. We're going to go into another our other segment. We have two guests on the phone.
Cool.
Mark Fetterman, who is the principal of Eastside Community School, which is a high school in the Lower East Side. And we also have author Jonathan Kozo, and he is going to discuss educational apartheid with us. But we actually have a special correspondent here tonight.
A student.
He's gonna bring us in. He's going to bring us in on this topic. So, KC Tiamfu, tell us what... A little bit more, what's going on, and tell us about yourself.
Well, basically, what's happening is Kohl's is having a contest that gives away $10 million and $500,000 to 20 different schools. And what's funny is, like, that sounds great. Like, that's really a nice thing Kohl's is doing. But to be honest, most of the schools that truly need it, underprivileged schools, don't have the resources to go out and vote for their school to win the money.
No, ain't that something?
So this is a Kohl's Cares contest, and how do you win that?
Well, basically, you just go on Facebook, and then you go to Kohl's fan page, and then you follow a link, and you could just type in whatever, your school name or any school you want to vote for, and then you vote up to 5 times.
And why is it important that we vote for your school?
Because first...
we and everybody in the whole world.
In the whole world, let's put it that way.
Well, basically, my school is in the Lower East Side, closer to... like the older part where they didn't really do much construction, and like a lot of the kids, they come from poor backgrounds, I guess, and our graduation rate 90%, and almost everyone in our school goes to college.
That's just
off of coming off of the news that over 50% African American males
do not
graduate
or even complete high school.
Exactly. Yeah. And so your school, but there's something special about it though. What's how you're gaining attention for this contest, because you're outweighing these schools with the money and with the resources to do it. Your principal actually is doing something unique to gain attention. What's happening at your school?
Yeah, my very dedicated, crazy principal, Mark Fetterman. He's actually sleeping outside to gain
right
media
now.
Attention.
Principal Mark?
Yeah, you can go on 12th and 1st, and you'll see him in
Hello?
The tent.
Yes, we're talking about you right now, Principal.
Okay, I can. You know, I'm a principal. I've been talked about before. I can.
Oh.
He has like 5,000 students speaking of him every day.
How's it going out there?
The first few nights was pretty wet and a little nerve wracking, but definitely, we've all fought for a cause, and you survive through that. And last night was real special because what happened last night, after turning them down a bit, a bunch of parents and kids and staff members, came out and actually joined me. So there's this, we got a little tent city going on now.
Oh, nice.
Out there right now. So it was nice to have some company.
That's what I'm talking about, support. KC.
So are you, buddy?
Well, basically, if you ran a cash-strapped public school, what would you do to raise money? Besides this contest, like, what can we do?
Okay, that's a good question. So, I mean, one of the things I think what I would love to see more schools do, and including Eastside Community High School do, is just, like, having the students get out. I think the most important thing is to have students get out there and hear the students' voices and hear what's going on in the school and bring in more individuals into the school building. Because I think what happens, everybody out there in America has an opinion about public schools, especially public schools that, urban public schools. And everybody's got something to say about today's youth, but until you actually talk with today's youth, until you see what they're doing in the classroom, whether it be our school or any other school, I don't think you really get an appreciation. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really important for anybody out there, who thinks they have an idea of what's going on, to actually step into their local public schools. And one of the reasons I actually stepped out of my local public school and into the tent and outside of the school is because we wanted the community that we're in, and not just the community where our kids are coming from, which are a lot of the public housing areas and a lot of deeper in the Lower East Side, but the community that surrounds us, which is actually now considered more the East Village, because there's been a lot of gentrification, is that we want actually people in the neighborhood to see, that there is a public school right here with some really special kids, some really special staff, some special families going on, and we wanted them to come and ask questions and learn a little about what we're doing. So I think that the key to raising money is raising awareness, and the awareness comes from just seeing really what the young people and the dedicated staff and families are doing inside today's schools.
And I know you're talking about the whole, the students, everybody is doing what they can, and sometimes, you know, you guys are a cash-strapped school, just mm-hmm. like Casey yeah. said, and I want to, I guess, address this to Mr. Kozo, who's the author of Savage Inequalities and also Shame of the Nation, and he talks about a lot of different educational topics and the disparities between richer, I guess, and poorer yeah. districts, wow. school districts. And I wanted to ask, even with all the things that Principal Fetterman is doing and all the media attention, do you think they're going to win? Is it because... The rich schools have a lot of resources behind them, even more than the media that, you know, the East Side Community School is getting. What do you think?
Well, first of all, I have to say Mark Fetterman is a real hero of mine. I know a lot of principals all over the country and quite a few in New York, dozens in New York. And we just need more principals like Mark who will fight for his kids, who's not afraid to get out there and talk in public and not continue, as too many people do, to cover up the dirty secret of America, which is the gross, wild, intolerable inequality between schools that serve the rich and schools that serve the poor. So, Mark, it's a real treat to be on with you.
Well, pleasure. I've been a big fan for a while, and you've been inspiration from the day. I'm not that much younger than you, but since the day I started studying education, I've been reading your stuff, and you're a big reason why I got into this work. So that's a real honor coming from you.
Let me try to answer the question, at least quickly at first. First of all, no matter who wins the coal contest, and I do hope you win it, the fact is none of the poorest kids in New York City are going to win anyway, because right. the inequalities in spending between the schools in New York City, and I mean the low-income schools, the schools that I know, for example, in the poorest section of the South Bronx, which, by the way, is still the poorest congressional district in America, rock-bottom poor and totally segregated, like a... This is like apartheid brought to absolute perfection.
It is. You
jump out of your skin if you see one white kid in an entire school, and you always want to know how in the heck did he get there.
Yes.
Let's just say right off the bat, no poor kids are going to win as long as New York City continues to operate a system which doesn't just rip apart very guts of everything that Martin Luther King stood for and rip apart Brown versus Board of Education, but frankly doesn't even live up to the old ugly Supreme Court decision called Plessy versus Ferguson. Mm-hmm. That's more than 100 mm-hmm. years ago, which promised that at least if schools were segregated, they had to be equal. New York schools are almost the most segregated in America and among the most unequal in America. The rich neighborhoods in New York City can always bail out, and the way they bail out is by holding fundraisers. Uh-huh. One night, a school on the Upper East Side, you know, where the parents have friends like, you know, famous musicians and so forth to attract a crowd, you know, they can raise $1 million in a night. And they say, well, in theory, so can the parents in the South Bronx. But the South Bronx parents hold a fundraiser, and they're lucky to make $300 right. from selling cupcakes.
And now they're not even letting people yeah. sell cupcakes
yeah.
in school.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I know I'm not going to get as much for an apple as I can for a cupcake, so no. I'm sorry, y'all.
Let me get to the real point. Fact is, it's a crime that our public schools have to depend on corporate charity. That's the worst
right.
thing. I mean,
absolutely.
This is supposed to be a big deal. Kohl's is doing something wonderful for America. It ain't. Frankly, if Kohl's wanted to do something really good for the kids of New York, they would become advocates, and they would help the rest of us to storm Albany in order to demand that the state capitol and those mostly inept and poorly informed members of the New York legislature would finally obey the constitution of the state and fund every kid's education equally. But if they're going to give charity, at least they ought to give it in the right way. And the way they're giving it is stupid and is not going to improve the reputation of Coles, I can assure you, not if I have any say about it. And I do have quite a few followers around this country, which I guess I don't really deserve, but I think thousands of teachers and kids believe in me simply because I've lived so long.
Well, Mr. Kozo, we definitely do believe in everything you're saying. I mean, just
well,
us.
I mean, there are a lot of other good people who probably do much more than I do for minority kids and low-income schools, but the thing is, I've lived so long that the Congress members actually trust me just because I look as old as they do.
Well,
we need you.
Here's the thing. If you're going to hold a contest like this, make it for something sensible. I think the whole idea of a Facebook popularity contest, it's kind of idiotic to start with.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of people, they hit up Coles, too. So yeah, they're getting publicity from it, and even though, you know, they're trying
sure,
to do what
boosts,
they can, but
it boosts Coles, that's their real goal here.
Right.
And
besides, what it, you know, they're pitting school against school, and
right,
the worst thing we need is more competition.
Hey, I want to comment
principal,
on that, because I feel terrible, because I am actually, I'm a person who believes that all kids deserve, you know, everything, and I definitely think that our kids deserve what we're all talking about they deserve. And it's horrible that I'm put in a position right now that I am saying that there are certain schools that don't deserve what our kids deserve because they, you know, they have it already or they have more. And I am actively have to campaign, you know, or to get this point out negatively, which is the last thing I want to do, because every single school, with the exception of three or four schools that are ahead of us, and we've moved up 60 spots.
Wow.
And it's just that we're thinking about spots, you know, and like in a contest. And 35 of the 40 schools ahead of us right now are private or parochial schools. I don't know if there is a, other than Brooklyn Tech, which is right side by side with us, I don't know if there is a school there with any kids of color.
I mean,
and it's mostly religious schools. I think 93% of them are religious schools. So it's a shame that we're being pitted against each other, and it feels awful. And but I have to fight for my kids and have to say, well, my kids deserve it.
Right, exactly. You know what, Mark and Mr. Kozo, we are absolutely, you know, we have a great kid here.
Yeah.
Casey, who's right, doing his thing and bringing attention.
Casey is worth fighting for it.
And so he better get some good recommendations, Mark, when he goes to college. He better get some good ones.
Well, look, let me just say one thing to Casey and the rest of you before our time is up. In spite of everything I've said, how I hate this idea of pitting school against school, and I think that it's a real crime against nature that, you know, in our nation's public schools especially, have to look for crumbs from the corporate community in order to survive. That wasn't Thomas Jefferson's idea. Still, I hope you win. And the way to win is to get, and I'll do everything I can at my end, to make sure that thousands of people vote for you. And,
well, I think you guys have done definitely more than enough just by bringing this
to our attention. And also, we've been online following all the different, you know, web portals. We just got word that our own in the hip hop community, P. Diddy, you know, Mr. Extraordinary or whatever.
He is king of New York.
He actually tweeted and retweeted about the East Side Community School contest, and he has a lot of followers.
Absolutely.
So I think in between, you know, the hip hop community, in between the literary community and the academic community, I think we could do this. I think we can take this.
Can I throw one thing connected to that? First of all, thank you, Diddy. And thank y'all. But I feel like right now we're representing all progressives. We're representing Latinos, African Americans, people in the LGBTQ community. Mm-hmm. We haven't even mentioned that. These schools are religious schools. Almost all of them have policies that are against, don't support our gay, lesbian, you know, questioning bisexual youth. Yeah. And that is a crime.
Absolutely.
The suicide rate of young teenagers is out of control. So this is not just a race and a class thing, but this is an issue. This is actually many of our religious schools and institutions in some ways are at war against the gay community, and that actually, I just want that to be part of the conversation.
Oh, yeah, well, definitely.
I had one last point.
It is here on Liza Radio. It is.
If I've got a second, I'd like to add one point to that. One of the worst things that's happening in the United States right now is that these private schools are popping up. I don't just mean the old prep schools that we had 50 years ago, but now they're popping up everywhere, small private schools in our urban districts. And although they won't admit it, what they're really doing is creaming off, skimming off the more successful kids in each community.
Right. I mean,
they won't admit it, but the way you find out is the following, that when those kids have problems academically and threaten to bring their scores down, they just say, okay, let's send her back to her public school again.
And you know what, Mr. Kozo, I think is exactly what the title of your book, Apartheid. It's exactly educational apartheid, but we have to, you know, we have to go.
We got
to
wrap it up, gentlemen.
Thank you so much.
Principal
Mark Fetterman,
Jonathan Kozo, two academic and awesome people that we love here on Rise Up Radio that are fighting for our children, that are fighting to get KC back to Rise Up Radio. What's up, KC? You coming back?
Yeah, we definitely need you to go out and vote. So
yes, how they do that,
KC. If you have Facebook, or if you don't make one.
KC, can I throw out a better address just to help out, or another address, alternative address?
Yeah, what's the best way?
If you go straight up to www.eschs.org, that's all right, for www.eschs.org, as in East Side Community High School.org. There's a button right on the front page, and they can go straight through there.
Boom.
And just follow the prompts.
And they can learn all about the school, too.
And they can learn about the school and all the things that Casey and the other young people in our school are doing.
All right. Thank you so much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Good luck. I hope you win.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ciao. Bye. Good stuff, Casey.
You know what's funny about this situation? That it obviously shows that the whole New York Board of Education system, like, needs help from everyone to help the children in New York City. And, you know, I think it's time we start stepping in and, you know, doing our part as people.
And I think here's a great way to start. I'm going to go right to you, Andreas. I'm going to go right to you. We have our friend Andreas Jackson, our media mogul. He's going to talk to us about some technological things. But since we were talking about the Facebook and the school and how they can strategize this win, I guess in the social networking realm and other technological ways to do this, do you have any suggestions on how they could reach out to even more people past the Diddy fan base, past the Jonathan Kozo fan base, past the Rise Up fan base? How can they maximize?
Well, I think, you know, for one thing, we talk about digital technology and communication, but really word of mouth is the number one way of tipping the scale or tipping the point. So I think actually, you know, what you guys are doing right now, being on Rise Up Radio, your principal sleeping outside, gaining awareness through that means, through guerrilla grassroots means, really is the key to this, because with any digital initiative really should be connected to a larger strategy.
Right.
So digital tools and media tools are really just a technique in themselves.
Like supplemental.
Exactly.
But isn't that the number one means of communication now? Isn't everything digitized? Isn't everything?
I wouldn't say it's the number one.
I mean, we talk.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, it's word of mouth is still, like, if you talk to any marketer or any digital marketer, they'll still tell you that word of mouth is the number one way of getting out there. Radio and television still has the most reach, for example, or you know, the most volume, or even, you know, publications and print publications, even though their business model was failing. But, you know, it should just be indicative of a bigger strategy. But what, you know, things like Facebook, having your own site, you know, as the principal pointed out, that was important because really what you want to do is draw eyeballs to your own personal digital hub.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can pretty much parlay that or leverage it for different ways just to raise more awareness for the school, other things that you're doing. And, you know, and also make sure that you build up a following. Make sure you're getting emails because Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff, that's other people's data. The best way to put it is like sharecropping. Social media is like sharecropping. Mm-hmm. With sharecropping, you can plow the field, but you don't own the field at the end of the day.
We gotta read under that one.
That's a Rise Up Radio quotable. Social media quotable. is sharecropping.
You can plow the field, but you don't own it.
All right, after that quotable, you gotta tell us a little bit about yourself.
Wow, that's the hardest thing to do. My name is Andreas Jackson. As Tasty Keach knows, I have actually worked as a producer and host for the WBAI Hip Hop Takeover for several years now. And for the last takeover that we did about a couple months ago,
I
created a show called Open Source Mic. And really what I wanted to do was open up discussion as far as technology and digital stuff, but really innovation. You know, I think in our communities, innovation is a word or really a concept that we don't talk about enough. Too many times, you know, as we're talking about the schools and the inequities in the school system, we're just talking about surviving, you know, or just, you know, try to get in where you fit in.
Right.
But, you know, with the proliferation of digital communication and, you know, global, you know, competitiveness, our community needs a quantum leap.
Right.
Like, you know, it's not enough to just, you know, reach where everybody else is. We need a quantum leap so we can actually get two steps ahead. So, I guess what
we really want to know, and I guess the most operative question right now is,
yes,
how can we hack into Facebook and get Eastside High School the most votes? How can we? No, kidding. I guess the question is,
like,
is,
press a button a million times.
No, I'm kidding. I do not support hacking. But
actually, hacking is not a bad thing. The true meaning of hacking is really just to add on to existing technology. And, you know, just to tie it in, even with the hip-hop community, it's important. For example, Grandmaster Flash,
right,
who's, you know, one of the pioneers, founding fathers of hip-hop, he actually hacked the original mixers in the 70s just to be able to scratch and, you know, do all the turntablism that people do now. So hacking has been a part of our community for decades, and it really is an essential element of how we, you know.
But just piggybacking off of that, how could an artist, anybody out there trying to promote, what would be the best means as far as using this whole, you know, media age, is using this whole, like, digital revolution? How could an artist or anybody trying to promote themselves, what would be the best thing for them to do?
The first thing you want to do is very important, is to have, like, your own hub or your own site. That's the first and foremost thing. So whether it's a blog, a website, I mean, there's so many easy, free ways to create a website or a blog. There's really no excuse. There's plenty of materials and resources out there. So you want to make sure that you have your primary, you know, hub or site, because like I said before, the sharecropping, you want to have your own field to extract value for your brand. Then what you want to do is you want to supplement that with social media, whether it's Facebook, Twitter. And let me just say that there's hundreds of social networking sites.
Lots of them.
People get the shiny object syndrome and they think about the big three or four. But, I mean, there's hundreds of sites out there. I mean, there's a lot of sites geared towards artists and musicians. So, you know, go to where your brand, like, for example, if you talk about social justice, you know, you might want to check out, like, a social networking site geared towards social justice.
Right. Okay.
Or, you know, if you talk about animals, there's social networking sites that deal with animals. So, you know, find your brand and your niche and don't necessarily get too caught up in what everybody's doing because Diddy has millions of followers on Twitter. Yeah. That doesn't necessarily mean that you are.
Andres, I wanted to ask you before, you know, we just wanted that time almost. I just wanted to, because I don't even understand it, and I just, I'm seeing it all over the news, and I feel like that means my internet's going to be cut off. Net neutrality, I don't know. Am I still going to be able to use the internet to, like,
hopefully,
you know,
for now. Well, just to kind of break it down in simple terms, net neutrality or network neutrality is the principle, and I want to, you know, emphasize principle that all internet traffic should be created equal. And that's really based on two things. Number one, non-discrimination, so everybody has access to the internet. Mm-hmm. And number two, all data is created equal. So what that means is your blog is treated the same as CNN.com. Mm. There's no difference as far as people accessing it or, you know, the speed of how information is transferred to you.
So how are they trying to shut us down?
Well,
I'm already taking this personally.
Well, the problem is, the problem is, like I said before, it's a principle. So in other words, it's not actual policy or regulation. It's basically a de facto rule that the internet has been operating under good faith for several years. But also for the past several years, there's kind of been this war between large telecom companies who, you know, net neutrality is not in their best interest because it really comes down to regulation or deregulation. And with net neutrality, the internet would pretty much be regulated so that people, for example, couldn't create like a two-tier internet system where, you know, Verizon or some other telecom company could say, you know what, we're going to have a premium lane for the internet and we're going to have a slow lane for the internet. So for large media content makers, they could pay exorbitant prices for the fast lane while we would all be in the slow lane. So, you know, your blog would be like dial-up. You know, nobody's going to wait around for 10 minutes for your page to load.
Okay.
So that's really the point. And the FCC, who was kind of in the middle of this, people are kind of looking for them to step in and, you know, and take control of this and regulate the internet. They shot themselves in the foot a few years ago, not to get too technical, but in 2002, the FCC labeled the internet as information services. And under the Communications Act, they only have jurisdiction over what's considered telecommunication services. So in reality, the FCC created four principles in 2005, you know, for open internet. And, you know, it's basic things like, you know, you can access any content you want to, you can run any application you want to, you can connect any device, and you can choose any ISP, internet service provider, that you want to. But these are just guidelines and principles. They mean nothing in a court of law. And there was a case in a couple of years ago where FCC sanctioned Comcast for blocking some of his customers from what's called BitTorrent sites.
Okay.
You know, sites where peer-to-peer sites where you download large amounts. We got Iron Man 2 before it came out. Before it came out in theater. So they blocked them and FCC sanctioned them, but they realized the courts said that you can't do this.
So Andreas, you are the brother to know about anything done with multimedia. Definitely are a guru. Where can people find out? Maybe send you questions, maybe email you, hit you up on Facebook.
If you go to atjmedia.com.
atjmedia.com.
That'll send you to my personal site, and everything is there, Facebook, Twitter, blog, the whole nine. So, you know, feel free to ask me any questions. I tweet new as Tasty Quiche knows. I'm tweeting all the time.
ATJ Media.
Yes.
This is the man to go to, the guru, Andreas. Thank you so much.
Yes.
No problem.
And stay for our next segment real quick.
We're talking
about this app, and it's very interesting.
Okay.
Nick is going to intro us, tell us all about it. We have the CEO.
Yes, we have the CEO, Paul Everton. Paul, are you there?
Yes, I am. How you doing, Nick?
I'm doing good. And yourself?
Good.
So, yes, we're talking about Visible Vote. I love the application. I came across it about a couple months ago, and I've been using it on my BlackBerry ever since. Can you give the listeners out there a little bit of information about it?
Sure, absolutely. So Visible Vote's an application that runs on iPhone, BlackBerry, Android, Facebook. You can download it. It's free out of the app stores for all the different devices. What it lets you do is interface with your congressman directly on your phone, so you can vote on the same bills that your congressman is voting on and tell him or her how you want them to vote. After they do vote, it tells you exactly what they're doing for you. If they're doing it, you know, are they voting for you 80% of the time, 20% of the time, etc. So Visible Vote calculates all that for you. On the back end, legislators use the actual application. So, for example, Charlie Rangel, I think he covers actually Harlem, and he's actually using the application now, just signed up. Your senator in New York actually signed up, and they're asking you questions today through the application. You know, should they launch investigations into BP? Should they do different types of things for you? They're asking that today through Visible Vote.
So it's like another way for them to, like, directly engage their constituents.
Cool.
That's right. That's right. And it's real time. Everything that you do in there, they get the data real time. So they see it the instant that everybody's voting, and then they actually can send back messages. And the newest versions are going to have video. Users are going to be able to upload video.
Cool.
So you're going to be able to actually talk in real time with these guys.
Oh, I'm excited.
I'm really curious to know, like, what was the response from the creation of the application from politicians, legislators, and congressmen and senators and whatnot?
Good, actually. They voter engagement is something that, you know, they're very keen on. So the ones that are signing up with us, they're really strong on voter engagement. They really want to be involved with the actual users. And, you know, what's happened now is that we're getting to a point of critical mass. So we've got almost 200,000 people using the application already. So the more people get involved, the more the senators want to use it and get involved.
And I think that it helps because, like, I don't honestly really the commercials that they have on TV with the little, you know, the little babies, or they're in the park and they're telling us what they're doing. Honestly, I don't even believe them.
Yeah.
Like,
not
so
not a trustworthy tactic.
At least if I could see, like, how much they're voting for or against some topics that I, you know, might be interested in, feel a certain way about, I could get rid of all that TV glitz or that little savvy, that little street credibility they're trying to have, or suburb credibility they're trying to have. And I can see, I can make an informed decision.
That's what's up.
Yeah, and that's what we designed it for. And everything is free that we do. So the legislators get it for free. Mm-hmm. The voters get it for free. It's really, we've got a real-time communication platform out there for everybody to use, which we're excited about.
And it's available on all the phone platforms, Google.
Yeah, and Facebook. So if you want to get it, if you want to download it now, and by the way, Congress is coming back in session now, so the midterm elections are coming up. So they're really into this right
crazy.
Now.
Boom. Mm-hmm. All right.
I'm going to be excited. Thank you very much. It's Visible Vote, so we can Google.
Hold on. I just have one last question before we wrap up. How did you come up with this idea? Because this was just, when I first heard about it, I was like, I don't know. It might be some, you know, kind of whatever. But then when I, like, learned about it and started using it, I found it, like, really, really helpful to keep me, like, politically active. So how did you guys come up with this idea?
So real quick, I'll tell you, I tried to get a hold of my congressman in my district in Chicago, and I tried calling him. I got a busy signal 6 times. I got hung up on once. I got a voicemail that was full. eventually, I was like, man, this is not working, and I found out that one guy represents 700,000 people and tries to communicate via fax. So, you know what? We need technology to fix this problem. So that's how I came up with it.
All right. All right.
I guess Chuck Schumer got really lucky that we didn't use the dirt around the Dream Act situation.
we'll get him on it next time.
Sure. But thank you again, Paul, for being with us. And definitely keep doing it. And I'm looking forward to the updates for the program.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll keep them going. Thanks, guys, for having us. We appreciate it.
No problem.
All right, man. That's Paul Everton of Visible Vote, CEO of Visible Vote. And you can download that app on most of your,
pretty much all smartphones.
Yeah, all your smartphones, all your, internet-y stuff.
New word.
And I can't believe it. It's that time. Let me just run down all the sites that you heard from us tonight. All right, the school, you can vote for Cole Cares at ESCHS.org. That is the Eastside Community High School website. No sharecropping here. You go straight to their website.
Go to the website.
Follow that North Star. Go ahead.
And then after that, you can go to the author of that quotable, Andreas Jackson, ATJmedia.com, his own site too. And you can also download Visible Vote, the app, on any phone. You just heard about what you can do with it. Talk to your congressperson. See if they're living up to the hype. Don't pay attention to those fool commercials.
Baby kissing babies, this is more than that.
This is more than baby kissing and people shaking.
And walking through the park.
And all that good stuff. I think we had an announcement real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Divine, you had one?
Real quick, you know, every month, every first Thursday of the month, we do the What Show. We have Atlas, Queen Cash, and Polaris.
Queen Cash.
Pardon me, Liquid. You know, the group New, GNU. You can look us up on Facebook, The What. It is The What with a question mark. And you'll find all the information there. You can just hit me up, Divino De Negro, Facebook, Twitter, and all that. And we're coming back. It is on 203 Audubon by 175th Street in the Heights at the Vibe Lounge. And, you know, we're going to have – we're also filming for a new film that we're doing. And, you know, it's going to be great.
And I think KC has an announcement.
We definitely need you to go out and vote for my school. And also, we need you to really think about this. Like, this is a serious problem. The rich are just getting richer in schools like mine, which are doing good, despite the challenges that we face, racism, just not having as much money, like, per pupil spending. Mm-hmm. Like, we really need this. So we need you to go out and vote.
So that's Eastside Community High School, ESCHS.org. And you click that button.
And you vote.
Vote. I don't know if we made this clear. It is $10 million.
Yes.
$10 million that they stand to receive.
Yes, they are giving it away to the school. I mean, you, Casey, this is what we are getting from Eastside High School. We are getting KCs. Okay? they are birthing them. 90% vote for them.
Graduation.
90% graduation. But I just have one thing to say before we end this and we go into this next joint. First of all, I want to thank everybody, Andreas, Casey, Mark, Mr. Kuzo, and Mr. Everton. For coming on. But this next joint is because they're family of the show.
Yes, they are family of the show.
Family of the show.
And also Black August family as
Black
well.
Black August family. Yes, this is Ness from Air Likes.
Yes.
You know, Ray Six, shout out to her, friend, family of the show. Anyway, they have this new joint we're about to play, and he's a dope MC. He's a producer. They got all this stuff together, and he wants you to check out, or you can download the whole album.
Free?
Not free, but
okay,
from I-2025EYE2025.com, and you can get the album Chapter 1, and this is the joint from there called Satellites.
Yes.
Yes.
You're listening to Rise Up Radio on WBAI 99.5 FM. We thank you for listening, and we will be back next week.
Next week.
Stay tuned for Sister from Another Planet.